Greetings to another lesson in the journey through the Word of Yahweh. This will be lesson 19 called Life or Death and Not Heaven or Hell. Let's have a prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, Adonai Yahweh, we thank you for life, just for the air that we breathe, for Ruach that you put inside us, and thank you, Lord Yahushua, for being our Savior, our Redeemer, our Kinsman Redeemer, who cut the bands and delivered us out from the darkness of a prison and a dungeon, as Joseph was delivered, and you set us on high with you, seated in the heavenly. So we thank you for this, Lord Yahushua, to the glory of our Father, Adonai Yahweh. But like I said, this session is life or death and not heaven and hell or hell. We have all been brought with the concept, or most Christians, with heaven or hell. You know, the word heaven or hell are never used in a sentence. Life and death are used all the way through the Word of Yahweh in sentences. The Word of Yahweh discusses life or death, saved, sozo, the Greek word sozo, or perish, which apolumai, saved or be destroyed, apolumai. You know, it does not discuss heaven or hell. So we've got to revamp our vocabulary to express what Yahweh does in His Word. The teaching of heaven or hell teaches that all men, born or unborn, which when I say unborn, somebody who was aborted, spontaneously aborted, are in some form immortal. All men, this we are taught, all men have everlasting life. An everlasting life either in heaven, which is a good place, or they have an everlasting life in hell, which is a bad place. This teaching is contrary to the Word of Yahweh. Nowhere in the Word of Yahweh does it teach that all men have life age abiding. We must read what is written and not read into the Word of Yahweh our desires, the man-made traditions. The truth will set us free. Tradition will only bind us. We have been taught, you know, the traditions of men concerning this subject. Let us submit our beliefs to the Word of Yahweh only by looking at our evidence, which is the Word of Yahweh. For more in-depth teachings concerning this subject, go to Volume 1 of the Theotetus book and read The Rich Man and Lazarus by E.W. Boinger, another article called Life, Age Abiding. In Volume 2 of the Theotetus book, you can read Does Hell Exist in the Word of Yahweh? And another article called Spirit and Soul. And another article called Mortality and Immortality of Man. The Roman Catholic website New Advent, when addressing the topic of hell, states, "There is a hell. All those who die in personal mortal sin as enemies of God and unworthy of eternal life will be severely punished by God after death. The existence of hell is, of course, denied by all those who deny the existence of God or the immortality of the soul." So we see their premise, this teaching, and which has to be, and everybody must agree with that, of the premise, the immortality of the soul. Interesting. So let's just look up the word soul. And the only word, the two words you can translate soul in Hebrew is the word nephesh, and in Greek is the word psuche. The Hebrew words, what Hebrew words are they saying when they say soul? So we have to say nephesh and psuche. Nephesh is used 753 times in the Old Testament. Let's just see if nephesh is anywhere appeared to be immortal. No place in the Scripture does it ever say that. And let's just actually see what the word nephesh, actually how it's being used. So our first usage is Genesis 1:20. That's the first usage of nephesh. And Rotherham translates it correctly. "And Elohim said, let the water swarm with an abundance of living soul, and birds shall fly over the earth, over the face of the expanse of the heavens." Well, that's interesting. So, according to the word of Yahweh, animals are called living souls. Now, and there would be a redundancy if soul was the word, if nephesh was the word soul that they're referring to, and they're talking about immortal soul, then why would you put the word living soul in living in front of soul? Because in the word there's also dead souls, which would contradict the whole concept of immortality of the soul. So we must go to see how the word of Yahweh uses it and not how men use it. So let's, the next usage is verse 21. And Elohim created the great sea monsters and every living soul that moveth, which the water swarmed. Now remember, these are before man was ever made. So animals are called living nephishes. In verse 24, and Elohim said, let the land bring forth living soul, living nephish. In verse 30, and to every living thing of the land, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every living thing that moveth on the land, wherein is a living nephish, a living soul, every green herb for food. In 2 verse 7, so then Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, so, and then in verse 19, and now Yahweh Elohim had formed from the ground every living thing of the field, and every bird of the heavens which he brought in unto the man, that he might see what he should call it, and whatsoever the man should call it, any living soul, that should be the name thereof. So as you can see, if you're saying soul, when you say the word, the immortal soul, and you're saying the word soul is nephesh, and here's the usage of nephesh, it's ludicrous what you just said. Animals are living souls. You know, man doesn't say he has a soul. He calls him a living soul. So now all the translations now have changed that to a living being or a living person. They don't even say soul in the context, even on that. We go into Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. Some other illustrations. So first and foremost, to come up with this concept of heaven and hell, we have to come up with the concept that something is immortal with man, something that will never die, which is not what the word of Yahweh states. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, it states, yet flesh with the life thereof, the blood thereof shall you not eat. The word life there is the word nephesh. And so it should be read, yet flesh with the soul thereof, the blood thereof shall you not eat. Verse 5 is the same way. It's the word, whenever you see the word lives, it's the word soul. In verse 10, it is, with every living soul that is with you, of birds, of tame beasts, of wild beasts of the earth. So living soul are tame beasts, they're birds, wild beasts. So nephesh is not something that a human being possesses, which is immortal. That's not the use correct usage of the word nephesh. And neither is suke, which we will find out. There's also something called a dead soul. Well, if the soul is immortal, then you can't have a dead soul. Well, the scriptures don't agree. So we go to Leviticus chapter 21, and we'll see this. Chapter 21, verse 11. And really, the concept of the immortal soul is coming from religion, it comes from Greek philosophy, and probably comes from other religions before that. Let's see, Genesis 21, verse 11. And unto no person of the dead, and that word person is soul, nephesh, and unto no soul of the dead shall you go in, for his father or for his mother, and he shall not make himself unclean. We go into Numbers 6:6. And we're talking about dead souls. All the days for which he hath separated himself unto Yahweh, to no dead soul shall he go in. And they're going to say person. That's the same word nephesh says translated soul. So no dead soul shall you go into. It's also in Numbers 19, verse 11 and 13. The New Testament uses the word suke 105 times, which is standing for nephesh. All right? And so we'll go to one of the occurrences and we'll show you just an example of how it's randomly changed its meanings, which the reader never knows. And so that's Matthew, we'll go to Matthew 10:39. And this is why we always have to go back to the Hebrew and Greek text and not tell how somebody translates and see what the actual Hebrew and Greek words is our foundation. And it says in Matthew 10:39, he that hath found his life shall lose it, and he that hath lost his life for my sake shall find it. Well, that word life is suke, soul. So instead of translating the soul here, they translated life. So how it should be read, he that hath found his soul shall lose it, and he that hath lost his soul for my sake shall find it. That's suke. Alright? Well, you can't lose your soul. Alright, so you see how erroneous it is, even the concept of winning souls. Well, that's just not what the scripture says. You're using the word nephesh incorrectly. Let's look at the Gospel of John 10, verse 11. And so by just looking up the usage of nephesh, you'll see how Yahweh uses the word nephesh. It had nothing to do with being immortal. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, his soul layeth down for his sheep. That's the word nephesh. How about in chapter 13, verse 37? It reads, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee even now? My soul in thy behalf will I lay down. It's the word nephesh. I mean, the word suke. They're going to translate it life in this particular case. We go to John 15, verse 13. Greater love than this hath no one, that his soul one should lay down in behalf of his friends. Well, this isn't what we're talking about. Well, that's what the word suke is. It's suke right there. They're going to translate it life rather than soul. How about, this is a good one, 1 John 3:16. And it reads, hereby have we come to understand love, in that he, for us, his soul laid down. And we offer a brethren our souls to lay down. The word life that you have in your translation is the word suke, which is soul. So as we can see in Revelation 8, chapter 8, verse 9, it calls animal souls. All right, so the first premise of any topic of heaven and hell is the immortality of the soul. Remember, it's about life and death and not heaven and hell. Neither nephesh nor suke are immortal in any way. And man does not have a soul, but man is called a living soul. That's Genesis 2:7. Just as animals are also called living souls. This is how the scripture is used. So the book of Genesis deals with life or death, living or dying, and not living in a good place or living in a bad place. It's not called the tree of heaven, it's called the tree of life. It's not called the tree of hell, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So let's look at this tree of life instead of the tree of heaven. Well, if everybody has life, then everybody is taken of the tree of life. If everybody is immortal, all right, that means nobody's ever going to die, so the tree of life is redundant. Because man, according to theologians and most other men, all men are immortal in some form or another, which is just ludicrous when you're looking at the concept of something called the Tree of Life. Well, the Tree of Life in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, or read says, "Then said Yahweh Elohim, Lo, man hath become like one of us, in respect of knowing good and evil. Now therefore, lest he thrust forth his hand, and take even of the Tree of Life, and eat, and live to time's age abiding." Well, how do we live to time's age abiding? Well, we must take, it says right here, take of the Tree of Life and eat. All right, so the person who does not take of the Tree of Life will not live to age abiding. So it is about life or death and not heaven or hell. According to the teaching of the immortal soul, all men live age abidingly, either in heaven or hell, which has uprooted the Tree of Life. You know, the Tree of Life is non-existent in man's life. Man has renamed Yahweh's tree as taking of the Tree of Heaven or the Tree of Hell. Let's look at the Tree of Life in Genesis 2, verse 9. It's so sad that we have to undo what centuries of false teaching has brought to us, which no evidence. Remember our last class, we're talking about evidence. Where is heaven and hell? Let me just ask you something very simple, which we'll cover later. Was Cain, let's just go with it, we'll call circumstantial evidence. Was Cain ever aware, or let's say Adam and Eve, were they ever told of that there's a place where if they do bad, they will live eternally in punishment? Is that anywhere present in the Old Testament, anywhere? That man lives eternally someplace, either in a good place or a bad place, and they're going to be punished eternally. Where is that ever written? Did Adam and Eve know about it? Were they warned about it? Which we're going to see. Was Cain know about it? How about the billions of people who lived before Noah, who were all killed in the flood? Did they know about this place? You know, that man has come up with right now. But let's look at Genesis 2:9 and just think rationally. "And Yahweh Elohim caused to spring up out of the ground every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the Tree of Life." If you have a Tree of Life, then not taking of life results in the opposite, death. All right? "In the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So there's two trees. All right? And the tree of knowledge, let's just see what Yahweh says about the tree of knowledge if they take of it. That's Genesis 2:16. "And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, Of the tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt burn in hell forever." No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, "Thou shalt die." And actually, the Hebrew text will say, "Dying, thou shalt die." Dying, thou shalt die. So Youngs will have that in his Bible. But here we talk about, there's a tree of life, and if you take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to do the opposite than life. And it's called die. In chapter 3, verse 4, we're going to see what the serpent says. "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not die," or in the Hebrew it would say, "You shall not surely," or "dying you do not die." Dying you do not die. "For Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and you shall become as like Elohims, knowing good and evil." So it's still dying, and it's not heaven or hell, it's life or death. So, "dying thou shalt die" is used in Genesis 3, or Genesis 2, 16 and 17, in chapter 3, verse 4, in chapter 20, verse 7, in chapter 26, verse 11. "Dying thou shalt die." Let's just look at Ezekiel to see this concept of life or death. We've got to break the spell of heaven or hell. Another place that has "dying thou shalt die" is Ezekiel 3:18 and Ezekiel 33, verse 8 and verse 14. But let's look at the concept in Ezekiel 3:16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, a watchman have I appointed thee to the house of Israel, and thou shalt hear at my mouth a message, and shall warn them from me. When I say to the lawless man, Thou shalt surely die, and thou hast not given him warning, neither hast spoken to warn the lawless man from his lawless ways to save himself alive, the same lawless man in his iniquity shall go to hell. No, he shall die. But his blood at thy hand will I require. Whereas when thou hast warned a lawless man, and he hath not turned from his lawlessness and from his lawless ways, he in his iniquity shall go to hell. No, shall die, but thou hast delivered thine own soul. And when a righteous man hath turned from his righteousness and committed perversity, and hath suffered a stumbling block to be laid before him, he shall die. Though thou hast not warned him, in his sin shall he die, neither shall he remember his righteous deeds which he hath done with his blood, at thy hand will I require. Whereas when thou hast warned a righteous man that a righteous man must not sin, and he hath not sinned, he shall surely live. In that he looked warm, and that he took warning, and thou hast delivered thine own soul. So in this Ezekiel 3:16-21, it's concerning with life or death, and not heaven or hell. We go on to Ezekiel 33, verse 11. And in the context, you all see that this is to deal with life age abiding, or death age abiding. So in 33, verse 11. And we don't have to say death, age of body. Death is death. All right? Life, with all we know of, results in death. And so the only time you need to put age abiding with life is a life that does not end. Because otherwise, all life will result in death. All right? So Ezekiel 33, verse 11 through 16. Say unto them, I, as I live, declareth my Lord Yahweh, surely I can take no pleasure in the death of the lawless man, but that the lawless man turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your wicked ways, for wherewithal shall you die, O house of Israel? Thou therefore, son of man, say unto the sons of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression, and as for the lawlessness of the lawless man, he shall not stumble thereby in the day of his return from his lawlessness. Nor shall the righteous man be able to live thereby in the day of his sin. When I say unto the righteous man, he shall surely die, but he hath trusted in his righteousness and committed perversity. Wait a minute. Verse 13 says, when I say of the righteous man, he shall surely live, but he hath trusted in his righteousness and committed perversity, none of his righteous deeds shall be mentioned, but by his perversity which he hath committed therein, thereby shall he die. And when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, but he shall turn from his sin and do justice and righteousness, the debt pledged the lawless man shall restore, plunder shall pay back, and the statutes of life hath walked so as not to commit perversity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be called to mind against him. Justice and righteousness hath he done, he shall surely live. So we see it's life and death, not heaven or hell. The lie of the serpent is very, very instructive. And that's in Genesis 3. Verse 2 through 4. He says, dying ye shall not die. And that's really the teaching of the immortality of the soul. So it says, dying ye shall not die. Alright, well, we know that was a lie. And we know not only does all mankind die at some particular time unless Christ comes back. And what we're going to see the whole case of everything is every person, if Christ doesn't come back, will die once. in the resurrection, the people who have made Yahushua their Lord or have done righteousness shall live age abidingly, while the lawless shall die a second time. And it's called the second death. It's not called the second life. It's not called hell either. It's called the second death. And the death is the absence of life. The truth. The truth is in Genesis 3:18. So it says, dying, that serpent says, dying you shall not die. But the truth was unveiled in 3:19 of Genesis, which states, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because therefrom wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, what we have is that, let me just try to do this. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to heaven or hell, because whereof thou wast taken. For when you die, you go to heaven or hell. You know, you don't turn to dust. And so they're going to say, well, your body turns to dust. Well, it never says that. And so you find out throughout here, the separation of spirit, soul, and body does not happen in the Bible. All right? The true hope is in Genesis 3:24. And the true hope is, so he expelled the man and caused to dwell in the front of the garden of Eden cherubims and a banishing sword flame to keep the way of the tree of heaven. No, it's called the tree of life. Right. Now we'll turn to Psalm 37. And this is a great illustration of what happens to all men. Now remember, when we say heaven and hell, obviously, there is no such verse that says heaven and hell, heaven or hell, but life and death are throughout the scriptures. So we have to kind of purge our mind of what we've been raised upon and actually read the scriptures and don't read into the scriptures. But I'm going to take excerpts from, you know, different verses from Psalms 37. So Psalms 37 answers everything that you want to know about what happens to mankind. And 1 through 2, verse 1 through 2. Burn not with vexation because of evildoers. Be not envious of the workers of perversity. For like grass, soon shall they wither, and like green herbage shall they fail. Well, there's the evildoers. They wither and they fade. They don't go to hell. For evildoers shall be cut off. But as for them who wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. Okay, wait a minute. It didn't say heaven. It said to inherit the earth, and the evildoers go to hell. No, it said the evildoers shall be cut off. And this is 9 through 11. Yet a little, therefore, and the lawless shall not be. Now, wait a minute here. Well, how can the lawless not be? The lawless, according to tradition, says they're in hell being tortured. Yea, thou shalt look about over this place, and he shall have vanished. Well, you can't vanish because he's in hell. But the patient oppressed one shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves over the abundance of prosperity. Verses 12 through 13. Plotting is the lawless one against the just and gnashing upon him with his teeth. My Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day will come. Verse 18. Yahweh knoweth the days of the blameless, that their inheritance unto time's age abiding shall continue. Verse 20, for the lawless shall perish. Very simply. It doesn't say for the lawless shall be tortured eternally in a place called hell. For the lawless shall perish, and the foes of Yahweh be like the glory of the meadows. They have vanished. In smoke have they vanished. Well, that's not according to the teaching today of hell. They're not vanished at all, and that they didn't perish at all. They're being tortured for eternity. Verse 22, for such as are blessed of him shall inherit the earth, but the cursed of him shall be cut off. So here we have again, earth or being cut off. Turn from evil, and this is verses 27 to 28. turn from evil and do good, and so settle down unto time's age abiding. For Yahweh loveth justice and will not forsake his men of loving kindness. Unto age abiding have the perverse been destroyed. The perverse have not been sent to hell, they have been destroyed, and the seed of the lawless been cut off again. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say the righteous shall go to heaven. The righteous shall inherit the earth, that they may settle down to futurity thereupon. Verse 34, wait for Yahweh, and observe thou his path, that he may exalt thee to inherit the earth. On the cutting off of the lawless shall thou look. Verse 35-36, I have seen a lawless man, a tyrant, and spreading himself out like a cedar in Lebanon. Then I passed by, and lo, he had vanished. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for there is a hereafter for the man of peace. But transgressors are to be destroyed together. The hereafter of lawless men is to be cut off. Well, that just completely contradicts the heaven and hell. So we should say, in verse 37 and 38, mark the blameless man and behold the upright, for there is a hereafter for the man of peace. Well, according to that teaching, there's a hereafter for all men of peace and lawlessness. But transgressors are to be destroyed. Well, no, but transgressors are to be tortured eternally in a place called hell. And the hereafter of lawless man is to be cut off. Well, no, that's not right either, because they're not cut off, because the hereafter of lawless men is to be tortured eternally in a place called hell. So, obviously, I'm being redundant. There is no hell in this psalm, and there's no heaven in this psalm. All right, so Psalm 37 tells us everything that we need to know about our future state, of all men's future state. The New Testament we'll do next. And what verse does people know better than any other verse is John 3:16. And hear how it is read into today in people's minds. And they would say, for God, who is Jesus, so unconditionally loved the world that he gave himself, that whosoever believeth on him might not go to hell, but go to heaven. And obviously most people would agree with that statement. But the problem is, John 3:16 does not say that. John 3:16 reads, for Yahweh so loved the world that his only begotten Son he gave, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, apolumai, but have life age abiding. So the difference here is the difference, you either have life age abiding or you perish. Well, in people, the teaching of hell, everybody has life age abiding. But John 3:16 disagrees, because it says perish, which is apolumai. Apolumai has 92 usages. It's strong number 622. It's from the strong number 3639, which means destruction, to destroy. It's very simple. You know, to perish or be destroyed does not mean you live on. All right, so here's just some illustrations of apolumai. It's perish in life, not heaven or hell. Here's Matthew 21:41. They said unto him, miserable men, miserable will he destroy them, and he, which is apolumai them, and will let out the vineyard to other husbandmen, who will render unto him the fruits in their seasons. John 10:28, and I will give unto them life age abiding, and in no wise shall they perish. Apolumai, unto times age abiding, and no one shall carry them out of my hand. Well, life, if I give unto them life age abiding, well, they just said, you know, the immortality of the soul, everybody has life age abiding. So you see how ridiculous it is. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for this course was concerning the cross, and that indeed who are perishing is foolish. But unto them who are being saved, unto us it is Yahweh's power. So we have perishing or being saved. Apolumai or being sozo. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Hence also, they who are fallen asleep in Christ are lost, apolumai. And that's if there was no resurrection of the dead. If there's no resurrection of the dead, everybody has perished. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, that of Christ, a grateful odor are we unto Yahweh, in them who are being saved, and in them who are being lost, or apolumai, perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:3, and even if our glad message is veiled, to them who are perishing, apolumai, it is veiled. It doesn't say, and even our glad message is veiled to them who are going to hell, it is veiled. And with all manner of deceitfulness, let's say 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all manner of deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them who are destroying themselves, apolumai, because of the love of the truth they did not welcome, that they might be saved, sozo. So what's the opposite of sozo? Is being perished or destroyed, apolumai. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering with regard to you, not being minded that any should perish, apolumai, but that all unto repentance should come. Apolumai does not mean living forever in a bad place such as hell while you are continually being tortured. There's some other things that are just common that we think of. When we say the wages of sin are, you're going to say death. Well, no. According to what man teaches, the wages of sin are eternal punishment, going to hell. No. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But Yahweh's gift of favor is going to heaven. No. Yahweh's gift of favor is life, age abiding in Christ Yahushua our Lord. And 1 John 2:15-17, it says, he that doeth the will of Yahweh endureth unto time's age abiding. Well, according to man's teaching, everybody endures unto time's age abiding, in a bad place or a good place. So, when people teach of hell, you have to say, what Hebrew word are you saying, hell? And the only word they can say is Sheol. All right, now let's just look at the first uses of the word Sheol, which is Genesis 37. And this was to deal with Jacob when Joseph thought was killed. In verse 34, it says, and Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned over his son many days over Joseph. And all the sons and his daughters rose up to consult him, but refused to be consoled, and said, surely I will go down unto my son mourning to Sheol. And his father wept for him. Sheol, according to the word, everybody who dies goes to Sheol. And really, Sheol is synonymous with death. If you put the word Sheol with the word death, you find out it's all over the place. And you see it's 2 Samuel 22:6 and Psalm 6:5. For in death is no remembrance of thee. In Sheol, who shall give thanks unto thee? So death and Sheol go hand in hand. In Psalms 18:5, the messes of Sheol has surrounded me. The snares of death has confronted me. Psalms 49:14, like sheep into Sheol are they driven. Death shall shepherd them. So death and Sheol are hand in hand. I'll tell you the other verses. Psalms 55:15, 89:48, Psalms 116:3, Proverbs 5:5. Her feet are going down to death. On Sheol shall her steps take firm hold. Proverbs 7:27, Song of Solomon 8:6, Isaiah 28:15, Isaiah 28:18, Isaiah 38:18, Hosea 13:14, Habakkuk 2:5. And when we get into Revelation, the book of Revelation is the same thing. And in Revelation 1:18, and the living one is, and I became dead, and lo, living am I unto the age of ages, and have the keys of death and of Sheol. Well, they're just going to say Hades, but Hades is the Greek word that they use to translate Sheol. And here is in Revelation 6, 8. And I saw, and lo, a living horse, and he that was sitting thereon had for a name Death, and Sheol were falling with him. In chapter 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them. There we go. In chapter 20, verse 14. And death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So this tells the whole story. So you say, what Hebrew word do you have in the Old Testament for hell? And you have to say Sheol, and that's everybody goes to Sheol. So when you're looking at circumstantial evidence against from the last teaching, we have to say, in the Old Testament, there is no place that you're describing that there's a place where bad men go and are there presently being tortured eternally. There is no such place. There's no evidence that states any of that. On the contrary, it says they're all asleep, waiting the resurrection of the dead. Very simple, to be judged by the book of life. All right? And it's not called the book of heaven or the book of hell, but it's actually called the book of life. The lake of fire is also the second death. Now here's another example in Revelation 21:6. It's not called the tree of heaven. It's called the tree of life. It's not called the book of heaven. It's called the book of life. Which means if you're not in the book of life, that means you're dead. All right? You don't have life. So, Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, accomplished, I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end. I, and to him that is thirsty, will give of the fountain of the water of heaven freely. No, it says the water of life. How about chapter 22, verse 1? And he pointed out to me a river of water of heaven. No, it says a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb in the midst of the broadway thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was the tree of heaven. No, it's called the tree of life. All right, and verse 14 of chapter 22. Happy they who are washing their robes that their right may be to the tree of heaven. No, it's the tree of life. And by the gates they may enter into. Well, according to the teachings of men, all people have taken of the tree of life. So they're either going to live in a good place, or they're going to live in a bad place. There are many books who have been written about heaven and hell. And if you want to make some money, you go to heaven and write a book, or you go to hell and write a book. So there's a book that sold 3 million copies so far, and it says it's a true story, and it's called Heaven is for Real. Just look it up. And it's a sad state, because remember, anything that we add to one thing about all these books, they're going to give us information that is not in the book, the Word of Yahweh, which means they have added to the Word of Yahweh. And we know from Galatians 1, 6 through 8, anybody who adds to the Word of Yahweh is what? Accursed. So these people are all accursed. But here's the story of Heaven is for Real. She'll show you how ridiculous this is. And here's a little boy who had a near-death experience, and his father was a pastor, so it's really his fault. All right? But he came back and said, well, I saw my sister in heaven. Well, his parents say he doesn't have a sister, but they did have their child was aborted before he was even born, so his aborted sister is actually in heaven. Well, isn't that interesting? Because that's new information that says people who are not born automatically go to heaven, which is new information. It's a new revelation. So this little guy must be a prophet. And the word of Yahweh was not complete with the book of Revelation. There's new information. So one thing we're going to always find out is all these people are adding, the pictures that they put in, everything that they do about heaven or hell, they are adding to the word of Yahweh, and they are accursed. They're no different than Joseph Smith, He had the angel Mormon come to him, gave him information. How about Muhammad? He had an angel come to him. How about the Roman Catholic Church? Well, the Pope has information that comes to him. All right, and so this is the same way with Colton Burpo. That's the little kid who is in heaven for real. All are cursed according to Genesis or Galatians 1:6-9. Then you have the other opposite situation where you have a person who says, "Well, I can't believe in anybody going to hell. How could a God torture somebody eternally?" All right, so you have Love Wins. And that was done by Rob Bell. And it says, a book about heaven, hell, and the fate of every person who ever lived. And so he comes to the conclusion that everybody goes to heaven because he starts with the premise that everybody's immortal. All right, so that's how he addresses it. And then Francis Chan came against it and wrote the book Erasing Hell, What God Said About Eternity, etc. And his problem is the same thing. And so neither one of them use scriptures. Neither one of them validate it. And so what you've got is one says everybody ends up in heaven, and the other one says half, you know, a percentage go to heaven, the other one go to hell because everybody lives eternally. You have sermons from Jonathan Edwards, and it's Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And so we have case after case about books and people have gone there, but it's no different. Well, I don't believe Joseph Smith, his angel, mourned because it contradicts the word of Yahweh. Remember, it says, if any messenger comes to you with another message for Muhammad, all right? How about the Roman Catholic Pope, all right? Or anybody else who writes a book on heaven or hell, it makes no difference. It's not from the word of Yahweh. They are cursed. They could be deceived. They might have had dreams. They might have had experiences. It makes no difference. But what they're saying is false. All right? And it's a sad state that they will pay for that. All right? No matter what their intentions are, because it's adding to the word, according to Galatians 1:6-9. So we don't want to do that. So let's change our vocabulary to life or death and just erase the whole concept of heaven or hell. It is our future state is a new earth. Remember Psalms 37. We were put into paradise. That's Genesis chapter 1 and 3. Christ redeemed us, and so we should end in paradise. That's Revelation 20. The thousand-year millennium is on earth. All right, so if you want to read these other books, these other articles, it'll give us more in-depth information, all the scriptures that will handle all this. We can't do all this in 45 minutes. But I do the best I can. But remember, heaven or life or death, not heaven or hell. So we'll end this this teaching with our word from our Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14. My children, be lively. Absorb what my word has to say into your minds. I put it into your minds. I put it into your heart. But make it paramount that my words are what you adhere to and not to the doctrines of men. So stand up uprightly, proclaim the good news that I am a loving God, that I compassion, and I desire nobody to perish, but that all men should have life more abundantly. So tell the people who I am and what I have promised them in order that they also can abide with me age abidingly. Amen. Thank you. See you on the next lesson.